Hello everybody. In this particular chapter, the 12th in our course of study, we will look at something which is more related to general management from a macrocosmic perspective, but the applicability in logistics and supply chain management is equally necessary. Here we will not talk about specific nitty-gritties of logistics, but we will try to understand how the logistics structure, how the supply chain structure fits into the overall organizational context, what are the various linkages among the stakeholders, and how logistics can play an important role in ensuring success of the company or the organization. So, we will look into relationship development and management. Now, internal logistics has a link with the elements of supply chain management. Here we mean that logistics, as we have said earlier, is a subset of supply chain. So, the way an organization is structured will to a lot decide or define how logistics plays a role in the organization. If logistics is directly a part of supply chain, theoretically it is, but there are many organizations where logistics is an independent function by itself, reporting to the CEO. You have supply chain which includes planning, production, procurement, which is separate. So, depending on how logistics is structured in the organizational design, its role and its importance will shape up. Internal logistics manages, arranges, plans and delivers the finished product. It also entails purchase planning, specification development, supplier research, etc. Now, again, this part will depend. There are many organizations where there will be airtight differentiation between purchasing and logistics. Some organizations it will be intermingled. It is an indispensable part of the supply chain. It reflects the result of implementation of the company strategy. Now, at what levels does the functional aggregation happen in logistics in relation to the organization? The stages of logistical development corresponds with the stages of company development. The first phase is the functional aggregation. The first step towards integration is grouping the logistical activities within the original function. Typical aggregation in this phase are, for example, marketing, the aggregation of customer service activities, manufacturing, aggregating of materials management activities. Secondly, logistics department functions usually involve physical distribution and material management in this stage. So, firstly, we see that how logistics mingles with functions like marketing and manufacturing. Here we are saying that it involves what is the core job of the logistics function. Thirdly, in the third phase of aggregation, the aim is to integrate all possible logistical activities within the boundaries of a single unit and exploit synergies. So, integrate all possible activities within one functional unit. So, when you talk about logistics, all the functions of logistics should come under one umbrella. Global logistics organization is an extended version of integrated logistics organization, which is responsible for all logistical activities of a company operating in more than one region of the world. Process integration. Process-oriented organizations are able to reach to a higher level of service and productivity than functional organizations. So, processes, SOPs, good systems, they all aid people to deliver better quality of service. In process organizations, the core business processes defines its requirements for logistical activities which are performed by the logistics function. A matrix organization is a combination of functional and a process organization. Virtuality and organizational transparency, these are organizations of the future, but some companies already apply this structure. Advanced IT systems provide coordination through common database and information sharing, making optimization possible not only in the company level, but across companies in the supply chain. So, these are companies which are in the top bracket. So, here the entire supply chain from your supplier to your customer is engaged in dialogue, is engaged and bound by seamless systems, both IT as well as human systems. So, overall we see in management a shift of emphasis from the function to the process. A conventional organization had a vertical design. There were functions with clearly identified tasks, and within these functions there is a formal hierarchy that employees need to progress. Now, here what happens was, you know, you had the risk of getting into that silo approach. Each organization will operate in its own vertical silo, not talk to each other horizontally. That's why this was not the best option. It was inwardly focused, so I am only bothered about myself. I do not bother about what is happening in your function, what will help you. So there is lack of collaboration and cooperation, which is absolutely uncalled for. The primary concentration is on the utilization of resources more than creating the outputs. The materials and information flows which connect the customers with the business and suppliers have horizontal linkages. A shift from functional to process orientation has both positive and very little negative aspects. Positive aspects include general adoption of a process orientation builds on the basic principles of integration. Shifting the emphasis from function to process means that it will be positioned as a chief contributor to all initiatives which will focus on development of new products, customer order generation and fulfillment of delivery. The negative aspect is a lesser understanding of how the process will be performed and managed. Now, this is a risk. If this is managed well, this can also be mitigated and will not prove to be a risk at all. And the process structure, the key business processes which are affected are customer relationship management, supplier relationship management, customer service management, demand management, manufacturing flow, product development and returns management. So, the factors which enable the process structure to work include development of a highly involved work environment with self-directed teams. Improve productivity results found in organizations that started managing processes rather than the function, and the ability to rapidly share accurate information. So, the organizations which are successful are the organizations which have good processes which supersede the people, in the sense that processes and information is widely available to all and is not restricted to an individual. There are many organizations today also which are very man dependent. So, you have one employee A who only knows to do the 10 things in a particular area. If that employee goes on leave or leaves the company or retires, then the replacement doesn't have a clue as to how most of these things work. But if you have a good operating system, if you have good standard operating procedures, if information sharing is encouraged from an earlier stage, then even when a person is not there, nothing stops, work goes on smoothly. That's what is a process oriented organization. Challenges of managing from a process perspective, there are some challenges. All efforts must be focused on value added to the customer. So, anything, any improvement, any activity, how does this activity in my function which does not talk to the customer directly, say for example in finance or even in procurement, I am not talking to my final customer, but I need to understand how my job, how my process improvement will finally bring value to the customer indirectly, although it is. All skills necessary to complete the work must be available to the process owner. Critical skills not shared can disrupt workflow and create bottlenecks. So, that's what. So, if you have a good system, if you are implementing ERP for example, then it's generally seen people who implement ERPs, they generally leave the organization because they get better prospects outside. When that person leaves, there's suddenly a big gap, a big void in the organization. How do you ensure that this does not happen? On the one hand, you have retention policies. You would like to keep the employee as long as possible, as long as he is productive. But you should also have a system wherein all employees, whether they stay for the long term or the short term, during their tenure, they are doing things which are very transparent, which is available to other people also, who can step into their shoes or at least impart the knowledge to a new recruit when the change happens. Process integration barriers, organizational structure, traditional measurement and reward systems, which, you know, like at times create vertical silos. So I am only bothered with myself. I am not bothered as to what your problems are. You can go to hell for all I care. That attitude cannot work. Inventory leverage, infocratic structures, and lack of knowledge sharing, which actually means knowledge hoarding on an individual's own prerogative. Organizational structure of a business can serve to stifle cross-functional processes. So that's why the structure should also, and this is of course something which a top management can do, should be such which encourages cross-functional movement and rotation. Traditional measurement and reward systems also serve to make cross-functional coordination difficult. Most reward systems are based on functional achievement. To facilitate internal process integration, new measures, increasingly called balance scorecards, must be developed. Inventory can also serve as a barrier to process integration because it is proven fact that inventory can be leveraged to facilitate functional performance. So one ramification of this is, as a function responsible for inventory, so you might have a supply chain manager who unnecessarily tries to cut down on inventory because he is going to prove by it that he has done a fantastic job of achieving his DOH, the days on hand. But if by this activity of his or hers the sales suffer, then that's not a balanced approach and that should be discouraged. Information is typically formatted in terms of functional requirements and accountability. This early practice in formatting information has developed what is referred to as a infocratic structure. Unwillingness to share and a general lack of understanding regarding how to share knowledge causes barriers to process integration. Development and management of supply chain relationships. Managing relationships is among the various personalities in the organization is often the most difficult part of SCM initiative. Without positive interpersonal relationship, the other systems cannot function effectively. So, as a logistics manager, as a supply chain manager, you need to make your presence felt. We are no longer in an age where supply chain is a support function. It is today a core function in all corporations. As a core function, it is the responsibility of the teams in supply chain to effectively participate in various decision making processes and not be a body which just receives certain numbers, churns it out and delivers material on time or not on time. That's not the goal. Creating and managing a strategic alliance often represents a major change in the way companies do business. Strategic priorities must consider the other key alliance partners that contribute value to the end customers. Now, the concepts of risk, power and leadership and how they play here. The concepts of risk, power and leadership are essential to understanding the acknowledged dependency and how it makes supply chain integration work. Risks exist at all kinds of organization and every type of industry. The areas of risks include a variety of supply interruption risks. You have plant issues, you have raw material issues, you have unplanned breakdowns, etc. Product introduction and cycle time risks. So you have product introduction delays, etc. Demand and supply planning integration risks. So demand and supply planning should be aligned. You should have good S&OP processes to ensure that. Human resource skills and qualification risks. Ultimately, the man behind the machine is the main driver of growth. You need good quality people. You cannot do with mediocre level of talent. That doesn't mean that all recruits will be above average. You will have to train them to ensure that they move upwards during their tenure. Purchase price risks of variances of unplanned, say like the tsunami in Japan a few years back, suddenly the raw material prices went up and etc. Regulatory and compliance risks and project management risks. Power. Dominance of power in supply chain concerns the extent of influence one participant in the chain has over one or more participants. The extent of product brand power along the total supply chain will depend on the type of power the dominant player exerts or is able to exert. Finally, leadership and power. So, if you have a very able leader heading the function, the whole function gets benefited. If you have a weak leader, if you have a leader who is not able to portray the utility which logistics and supply chain plays in an organization, will not be able to drive the growth in the function as much as it would be desirable. Contracting. Contracting with a supplier or customer introduces a time dimension to traditional buying selling, example price, service and performance expectations over a specific period. Outsourcing. Firms that outsource function must maintain cordial relationship with the service suppliers, vice versa. So, gone are the days when suppliers were just people with whom you haggle over prices. Now, they are your partners. You need to build relationships so that the dependency is both ways. Enterprise extension. It represents the extreme interdependence and information sharing to the extent that can be viewed as a single entity. In such instances, two or more firms willingly integrate to the extent of collaborative planning, forecasting and replenishment. Framework constructs. The framework serves to facilitate operations into a supply chain context. A job or basic work such as an order picking or truck driving is the most visible part of the logistical operation. Functional work arrangements constitute drivers of logistical best practices. It is a function that combine to create value. To achieve integration, functional value should be focused in terms of universal capabilities. A capability is the knowledge and achievement level essential to developing integrated performance. The capability reflects the value contribution of the work. The fusing of capabilities results in universal competencies. Capabilities related to each of the six integrative competencies regrouped in terms of the supply chain context. In the operational context, it includes traditional processes related to procurement, production and customer relationship management. To achieve leading performance in an operational context, firms must be customer focused, must achieve inter-organizational coordination and must excel in functional and process performance. Customer integration builds on the philosophies and activities that develop intimacy and is a competency that builds for lasting competitive advantage. As we said earlier, logistics is all about getting the firm a more than average competitive advantage in the market. Quality, packaging, price, promotion all play their part, but superior shelf availability, superior transportation availability, superior warehousing will differentiate the two peers or all the competitors. Then the first among equals, one of the ways he becomes the first among equals is by a good logistics backend. Internal integration focuses on the joint activities and processes within a firm that coordinates functions related to procurement, manufacturing, customer relationship management, etc. Supplier integration. It focuses on capabilities that create operational linkages with the material and service providing supply chain partners. So, the supply chain partners, as I said, have a very important role to play in the efficient supply chain management, especially in organizations which are working to optimize inventory with just-in-time JIT models, etc. Supplier integration is very, very critical, and the systems should also talk to each other. The ERP of the supplier, the ERP of the company, the ERP of the customer, if they can be linked, then information flow and sharing becomes very important and good. Planning and control context. It incorporates information technology and planning systems as well as measurement competency. Planning and control integration concerns the design, application, coordination of information to enhance purchasing, manufacturing and customer order fulfillment process. The behavioral context, it relates to how a firm manages internal and external relationship among supply chain entities. So, it all boils down to, you know, developing trust. All relationships which are based on trust are the ones that last for a very long period of time. It is clear that trust has more than one dimension. A meaningful way to understand trust in supply chain collaboration is to distinguish between reliability based trust and character based trust. Reliability based trust is grounded in an organization's perception of a potential partner's actual behavior and operating performance. It involves a perception that the partner is willing to perform and is capable of performing as promised. So, he is like the, you know, the Tendulkar amongst your suppliers, you can rely on him. Character based trust is based on organization's culture, leadership and philosophy. It stems from the perception that supply chain partners are interested in each other's welfare and will not act without considering the action's impact on the other. So, all the partners, the organization and one partner and other partners should have trust in each other and should not do something which is detrimental to the other. The organization should not unnecessarily prosper at the extent that the supplier loses or goes out of business, etc. It should always ideally be a win-win situation. A partner who frequently threatens to punish and consistently follows through with that punishment can be said to have greater reliability. It is not likely, however, to be trusted in character. So, these are various interpersonal relationships which are at work, and they, you know, finally lead to an efficient supply chain network. So, supply chain and transportation and logistics is not only about warehouses, trucks, etc. It is also about people. It is also about the trust in people. It is also about how an organizational structure is designed, how an organization, you know, designs its functions, how it helps the supply chain and logistics team to be independent, how it leads the organization to the next level. So, if you have a CEO who is from a, let's say, from a sales background, and he is only interested in listening to the salespeople and their complaints, and he thinks that logistics and supply chain is a worthless, it's a thankless function. In that case, supply chain and logistics might work, they might still continue to churn out superior service levels, but since they will not get the credit for it, it will never lead to an organization where they are working because they want to have the organization move to the next level. They will be working because they are forced to work. So, the top leadership and the way they design the functions, way the top management speaks to one another, all this will impact on how relationships play out in the logistics and supply chain arena. Thank you for listening.